All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it is one of our special monthly trailer roundups, and we're going to be looking at the movies of February 2022. Joining me, as always, is Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year. He joins me every month to give our little puzzle pieces treatment to roughly 8 to 10 movies every month, just to kind of get a little preview going before we actually get into the month's movies. So we are going to do that. There's a lot coming in February. And, you know, I try not to be too negative on the show, but a lot of kind of questionable movies coming this month, but we'll get into that in the conversation. Jason really was down on this month's choices, but they still need to be talked about, and we will talk about them. So before we do get to that conversation, I want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. That way you'll get those episodes on maybe some of these movies when we get to them. So yeah, make sure you're subscribed. You can do that, of course, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Podchaser, Good Pods, basically wherever you can find podcasts, we're there. And if you would maybe consider rating and reviewing us while you're there, that would be awesome too. You could also share us, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. So, with all that said, let's start talking about some of these February movies. All right, it's a new month, and Jason Harris is back with us again to talk about some movie trailers. Jason, how's it going?
Dave, I'm fine, although some of these trailers are not. This is going, talk about the doldrums here, man. We have a few good ones, but woo, yeesh, some bad movies.
January's not even over yet, and it's already been a long year when it comes to movies.
I'll be honest with you, some of these trailers, I was like, I don't know if I can even get through the trailer, much less the film.
Well, I'm sure we'll have fun anyway, but first, before we get to those February movie trailers, let's look back at a month that didn't really exist, at least for me. We'll see as we get through these if you watched any of them, but I know I didn't watch any except for two, but we'll see. Let's start off with the first thing we talked about last month, A Hero. Did you get around to this one?
No, it just came out. You know, as you know, I don't have the same access as you goons in the Las Vegas Film Critics Society, whatever.
Sure.
With your noted criticism of films, that bunch. So I noticed that I've seen a lot from December in the last month, but not a lot in January. So I haven't seen A Hero. Did you?
I have not yet. And actually, January should be the month where I do like catch up of things that I wanted to watch from 2021, but instead I did an Alien series marathon. So I don't know.
An Alien series? So you watched a bunch of like Alien
the whole main series, the quadrilogy plus the two prequels.
The movies. Like when you said Alien series, right. I was like, did you just watch Alien TV show?
Well, you know. Noah Hawley is making an Alien TV series.
Yeah, it's so interesting. That's six movies you mentioned, and that's the reason you couldn't watch other movies throughout the month.
I don't have that much time, Jason. The six plus the five Awesome Movie Year movies. I'm a busy man. Anyway, yeah, I still want to watch this movie. The next one I don't really care much about. The 355, which I know got just absolutely demolished when it came out. Everybody says it's terrible. It flopped pretty bad. Did you watch it?
Nope. And I'm glad I didn't. And I think, you know, as we said with the trailer, like, what's the tone of this thing? You know, and yeah, I don't know if people, Josh, my co-host from Awesome Movie Year, did see it. And he said, it's definitely not a comedy. And I'm like, well, then they should have made that more clear in the trailer, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. It definitely seemed all over the place. And it definitely seems like people are not liking it. So I doubt I'll ever get around to it. I did watch the next one on the list, Scream, which we also recorded an episode on, which will be coming out soon. I'm actually saving it for the Paramount Plus release date. It's going to be streaming on February 28th. Did you watch Scream yet?
No, I mean, but I would watch it on Paramount Plus. Was it good?
It's fun. Yeah, it's not my favorite movie of the series, but it's a good one as far as if you like the Scream movies, you'll probably like it.
Was there anything to the concept that we brought up last month of Dewey somehow gaining intelligence and speaking more clearly over the years now.
Yeah, not really. No, he's just older, and I guess that's just David Arquette's unique take on the character. I don't know. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, we both somehow Mandela affected our thoughts on how Dewey used to be portrayed. I don't know.
Maybe we were thinking of like those spoof movies where they played him like that, you know.
That's exactly what I think. I think we're conflating both Scream and Scary Movie into one character.
There you go.
I think that's what we're doing. All right, next up is The Tragedy of Macbeth, which, like I said last month, I had already seen when we did that episode. You did watch this one,
right? I did, and it's beautiful, and the performances are good, but I feel as dumb as you, Dave. It was, I'm like, you know, maybe I'm just not a Shakespeare guy. It was an effort to get through.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They're actually going to be showing it in the next couple of weeks in IMAXs. I would almost want to see that just because of how beautiful.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, right. You could even put in not that the sound is bad, but like you could just watch that for the picture alone. So.
Yeah, seriously. So next up is Operation Fortune Ruse de Guerre, which was delayed to March 28th. So skip along that one, as well as Morbius, which is delayed till April 1st, which that is the eighth time that movie has been delayed. So we'll see if that really happens. So obviously we didn't see either of those. But then this weekend at the time of recording, these last two movies still aren't out. So we, of course, haven't seen them. Clean and The Requiem. Those are actually still coming out on VOD this weekend. So maybe we'll catch those.
Clean. Yeah, they both seem like those were two of the more promising ones last month.
Yeah, so they could be fun. So hopefully we'll get to those. But let's start our February movies with the one that I hope reinvigorates my desire to start watching some new 2022 movies. Yes, it looks really dumb, but it looks like my kind of fun dumb. It is Moonfall, coming to theaters February 4th. It's the new Roland Emmerich film, director of disaster movies like Independence Day and 2012 and all this nonsense. It's a $140 million blockbuster about the moon getting knocked out of orbit and being on a collision course for Earth. It looks absolutely ridiculous. I will admit the trailer is just terrible, but I love the concept, and so I want to see
it. Well, I don't mind the concept at all. I mean, it feels just as realistic or unrealistic as any Roland Emmerich movie, right?
Sure.
Again, yeah. I mean, what is going on with trailers and tonal confusion? Like, the first half of this trailer is a comedy trailer, and the second half is an action trailer, and I'm like, but there's no mix. There's no, like, you know, it seems like there are two different movies going on. So at first I was like, oh, is he spoofing his own work? That could be super fun. And then I'm like, oh, he's clearly not spoofing anything. And it's going to be, it just is a mess, man. It's a mess. Yeah, and this, is that Nick Frost in this as our Brit there?
I didn't even think Nick Frost was in it. Maybe. Halle Berry's in it. Patrick Wilson's in it. Michael Pena, Donald Sutherland.
Oh, you know who it is? It's not Nick Frost. It's Sam Tarly. Man, oh,
what's he
from Game of Thrones? The guy who played Sam Tarly. Oh, okay. Man, if I wasn't white, that would be racist that I got two white British fat guys mixed up. But Sam Tarly is in two horrible looking movies this month. And I'm like, bro, this is where you're going from Game of Thrones. So, yeah, not looking forward to it, Dave. And you have your hopes that this is going to ignite you for 2022. Yeesh. Hey.
Yeah, I like some dumb fun stuff. You know, I like that Dolby Cinema to rumble me. You know?
You keep saying fun, but this preview turned from like fun to not fun so very quickly.
No, you're right. The trailer does not look very good. I don't know why I still have my hopes up, but I do. Well, what do you have for pieces on this?
Well, one? I mean, you know, forgetting all those Emmerich pieces that I thought he was spoofing, you pick anything like Armageddon or, you know, this name any, is there, I'm sure there's a movie called Meteor about a meteor going to hit Earth, right?
Yeah, so, sure.
So
Deep Impact.
Yeah, there you go. Deep Impact. So I said that. I said Gravity, because that, I think, is the best version of an epic space movie where they have to fix something in space. And then Don't Look Up, it kind of felt, at first, I was like, oh, this is funny, and it's about an impending doom to the U.S. And then I was like, oh, this isn't funny, and it's about an impending doom to the U.S. That sounds exactly like Don't Look Up.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, of course Armageddon is on my list as well. I also put on Transformers Dark Side of the Moon, where there's some secret crazy stuff happening with the moon. Turns out to be Transformers. Here it seems like it's not all 100% natural, and that's part of what I don't like about the trailer. I'm like, oh no, don't tell me there's something else going on. I just want the moon to come out of orbit and hit us. That's enough, you know? And then kind of along those same lines, last year's Godzilla versus Kong, which you know I love, there's a whole separate conspiracy theory angle with Brian Tyree Henry's character, which is admittedly kind of the weakest part of the movie, but it does seem like there's a lot of conspiracy theory stuff happening within a big, giant disaster epic, so that kind of reminded me of that.
So, Dave, are you saying there might be perhaps a moon raker on this one?
Ooh, there you go. Perhaps.
Anyway, you're dumb for looking forward to this.
All right. This next one, I think you're probably looking forward to because I know you love Steven Soderbergh, but it's Kimmy, coming to HBO Max on February 10th. Stars Zoe Kravitz as an agoraphobic woman who discovers evidence of a crime and no one believes her. And so she has to leave her house to get involved. But then there's also this second through story of Kimmy, the Alexa-style voice assistant that's recording everything, that's part of the story as well. It seems like there's a lot going on in this trailer.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if I got the agoraphobic angle from the trailer, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's in the plot synopsis.
Yeah. Interesting that I didn't get that, but I will add something now from the puzzle piece to that because of that. But, you know, we know Soderbergh, Contagion, Side Effects, he's great at making movies like this. So hopefully, and Zoe Kravitz, I think, Soderbergh is so good at working with actresses. You think of like Erin Brockovich or even Catherine Zeta-Jones in Traffic, like some of the best performances of these people's career, right? Like, so yeah. Zoe Kravitz, we know, is a promising actress. She was good in like Big Little Lies and stuff like that. So I'm excited. I think this could be a good movie here. So
yeah, absolutely. It looks good to me as well. What do you have for pieces?
Well, if we're going to go the agoraphobic route, I'll just take Rear Window right away, even though he was kind of stuck in there, not of his own accord. But the two that I thought were, because of the interaction with technology, Her, which I love, one of the greatest movies of the last decade or so, the Spike Jones movie. And then there's this whole thing, the technology overtaking the goals and ambitions and kind of like deciding the fate of the character reminded me of 2001, A Space Odyssey, HAL, obviously. Kimmy and HAL should hook up. And lastly, Minority Report, with this, like, is there a premeditated murder? Are you able to predict it ahead of time? Is that an aspect of it? It felt like it was because of the technology, connection, but maybe I'm wrong.
All right. Well, I definitely had Rear Window on there, but I also thought of Blowout and also Blow Up while we're at it. Awesome movie. But just the recording of everything happening and, thinking that she's discovered something within her recordings on this Kimmy device. So I thought that reminded me of Blowout. And then lastly, I would also throw in there Jordan Peele's Us, because it was the first movie I remember like having like an Alexa type device doing something creepy. So I just thought that kind of fits in there.
Cool. What was the one last year, right? Didn't we talk about one last year? Joe Wright, the Amy Adams one, where she...
Yeah, the woman in the window. Is that what that
was called? Yeah, you watched it.
It was really bad.
Yeah,
so. It was very bad.
Yeah.
So.
He's usually good, Joe Wright. So, but
I know he is. Yeah. Well, Cyrano, we still haven't
watched. Yeah, I'm excited to watch that.
Yeah. All right. Blacklight is up next. I know you get excited when Liam Neeson does something. So February 11th, coming to theaters. Just, check the boxes. It's the Liam Neeson action movie.
Meat and potatoes.
Yep, absolutely. What do you think of this trailer? There's really not much to describe with it. I mean, it's just very standard.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. It's funny. I recently pitched... kind of a take on one of these movies, but it would almost be like sending it up, and you would need Liam Neeson for it. And it was pitched to like the producer of like his last few movies, and they're like, no, that's a really funny pitch, but he says he wants to get away from stuff like that. And since then, he's released like three more of these. So it's like, yeah. Does he, or are you just like not working with him anymore? What's going on here, right? So, I mean, the problem with this one is it's now to the point where we're cannibalizing other Liam Neeson movies. We're like, you know, we're jumping the shark in that like his granddaughter gets taken away, right? And he goes, if you had anything to do with my granddaughter going missing, you're going to need more men, you know? And it's like, this is Taken. It's literally, I have a special set of skills. Like, we're going literally usurping, you know, our own movies here. So it took a little more, let's see, Off the Grid, Working for the Government, Homeland, the show on Showtime that was up and down, the Bourne series, obviously. And then last, because it's like, I'm an old man and I like my granddaughter, I picked The Mule, which was the Clint Eastwood movie there.
All right. Yeah, for sure. I will add in there as far as old man's, I'll go with Logan, just real angry, gruff, you know, old man action movie. Also with being roped in by the government, that seems to be like kind of what's happening here. I thought of the last few Fast and Furious movies because that seems to be what happens every single time. The government ropes them into some kind of a thing. But yeah, also I had Taken on my list as well, because like you said, it's just at this point, it's just going back to the well, you know, it's kind of crazy. The other thing I wanted to mention though, is when I was first looking for this trailer, you know, just to watch it, you know, I typed in Blacklight, and one of the Google search like suggestions was, what is the Blacklight trailer song? And then I watched the trailer, and it's In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. Like, who doesn't know that?
Yeah, right. But you know what's funny, Dave? I'm glad you brought that up, because this was something I mean, obviously, I knew that too. But this was something I noticed in all these trailers. Even the trailers are becoming derivative of each other. It's like, right? It's like, hey, let's take a cool 80s song and give it to a DJ to just, like, pop the, you know, the beat up or, like, the chorus over. Like, there's Personal Jesus, no, Never Again is what you swore, right? That's in
That was in one of these,
right? And then even towards the end, not just 80s, there was Heads Will Roll with the yeah, and it's just like repeating the same line of a song to a hot beat, where like, here's a line from a song, now here's a character saying a line, now here's a line from the same line from the song. And it's like, man, even the trailers are getting like boring at this point.
It makes you miss superhero movies, right? I'm just kidding.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh,
all right, let's move on. Next up, Death on the Nile, February 11th. Latest in this series, following up Murder on the Orient Express. This movie, of course, directed by Kenneth Branagh and starring him, also Gal Gadot, Letitia Wright, Annette Bening, Russell Brand, and Armie Hammer.
Yeah, he got his name.
They're doing their best. They're trying to hide the fact that he's still in it, but they can't get rid of him.
No, his name is like in the preview. Like,
it's in there. Oh, yeah, they don't show him though. I think he's in like a far shot.
Dave,
but,
what did he do other than like talk about wanting to eat people or kill his family or something?
Know.
I'm confused. I'm not defending him. I'm just confused.
I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if I really want to know at this point, but yeah, he's derailed. Let's just say that at this point. But this movie has to come out though. They got to eventually release it.
Well, the last one was such a big hit, right? So
exactly.
And I've seen the original, and I think I saw the last one. But I mean, who's to say? They all blend together.
I saw it on a plane, actually, the last
that's
one.
That's not the best way to see it.
It's a plane movie.
No, it's not, because, I mean, did you have a bigger screen? The scenery and...
No.
Yeah, it's not a plane movie at all.
It's
a, you know, the setting and the scenes are so nice of this stuff.
Yeah,
and in this one, that's what the, you know, the locations and the scoping shots look great for it. And, you know, whatever. I like a lot of British mystery TV shows, but I don't know if I like this. So,
yeah.
you know, obviously they're in a beautiful cruise to It looks like Egypt, but also parts of the Middle East. And that reminded me of a lot of the scope of the North African sequences in The English Patient, just like the landscapes the costume design, probably like 10 years earlier than The English Patient was, but this looked like of that swooping beauty, you know, which whatever you think of that movie was a beautiful movie, you know. We kind of bring this one up a lot because it's, if everyone's a suspect, I think Knives Out's probably our favorite of the last few years of that. Sure. And then, I thought, like, what's a big boat movie in an exotic location? Jungle Cruise.
I can't believe you went with Jungle Cruise and not me.
I'm not proud of myself for that one. What I wanted to say was Fitzcarraldo, the Werner Herzog movie, but I've never really seen it, although I've seen the documentary Burden of Dreams about the making of it, which is about pulling a boat like this over a mountain. And so I recommend watching Burden of Dreams.
Okay. Yeah. I actually have seen that, and it's very, very good. But Jungle Cruise is also pretty fun. I of course also had Knives Out on my list, but this is, I don't know, it's kind of a hard one to really come up. I like The English Patient as a piece here. That's good. It's a hard one to come up with pieces for, though, because it just is part of this grand tradition of these Agatha Christie adaptations. So it's just, it is what it is,
and
you know.
Poirot is such a beloved detective, both in film, in literature, and on television. Like, you know, really, as far as detectives go, he's really done he's really crossed medias, hasn't he?
He sure has, absolutely. So yeah, I don't really have any other good pieces. I mean, I guess Sherlock Holmes, but I mean, that's, you know, it's just detective stuff. It is what it is. I guess if you're gonna do Jungle Cruise, I'll throw Anaconda in there.
Okay. At least the Jungle Cruise, I think, took place in the same continent, is right? Was it? Or who knows? Who cares?
Who knows?
Yeah, yours is just as valid. Shut up, me. Yeah, pretty much. Shut up, me. Stop talking.
Third movie in a row coming out in theaters on February 11th. That's going to be a busy weekend for somebody, I guess.
Not me.
Yeah. It's called Marry Me. It's Jennifer Lopez playing a pop star who is about to get engaged during the premiere of her new duet with her singer boyfriend, but he dumps her at the last second, and so she decides to marry some guy in the crowd.
No. They're gonna get married on like a live stream, right? And they're gonna sing together. And the guy is, I guess, is, I don't know who the actor is. Manula, is that his name or something? So he must be a famous. But what happens is, before that goes live, something else goes live, which is a video someone took of the boyfriend
making out with
the assistant. So now she's there in the live stream, and Owen Wilson's in the crowd with his daughter and ugly best friend Sarah Silverman, because we know she has to play ugly best friend, right? She's not a smart, beautiful woman or anything, right? And they hand her a sign. They hand Owen Wilson a sign that says "Marry Me," which was the name of the show or
the song they were
in,
right?
Jennifer Lopez, she's all like, you know, I got to make a change in my life because my guy cheated on me. Hey, random guy in the crowd with the "Marry Me" sign, I will marry you right now, right here. And then they get married, and I don't ever want to see this, no matter what.
Thank you so much for clarifying that plot summary.
Doesn't it sound so clean and wonderful as a plot?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what to make of this movie. This just looks...
You know exactly what to make of this movie. It is a garbage trash pile, the type of horrible fodder that Jennifer Lopez used to do, like Monster in Law and everything. And then we thought, like, oh, she's in Hustlers and she killed it and she's great.
Oh, yeah.
But no, she can't keep away from garbage, Dave. This looks like the worst movie ever made, okay? So I'll tell you my pieces for that. I went with Eurovision because of that love interest romantic stuff that took place on the show and everything, and it was musically inclined. I went with the TV show Joe Millionaire, where they did something like this. You have to marry the millionaire on the spot, right? You know? Also, what's with this Owen Wilson comeback? This is the stuff he's choosing? Like, come on, dude. What Happens in Vegas? I never saw it, but didn't they get like married off of a whim or something like that?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And then one we just covered on Awesome Movie Year as a special bonus, Love Actually, because this seems highly manipulative and, you know, big set piece oriented and something like just annoying to me. Also, this is the other one with Sam Tarly. What are you doing, Yai?
Oh, yeah. That poor guy. Yeah. Well, so like Love Actually, so people are going to absolutely love this movie and you're just going to be baffled by it.
I mean, I understand why they love Love Actually. And as you recall, I was like, it's all right. And like, I'll,
yeah,
you know, if I ever get a girlfriend again, I'd watch Love Actually again. But I don't, I think if any,
but not
if any women are listening to this, I probably won't get a girlfriend again, you know, so.
Well, I'll throw A Star Is Born in there. You know, I think just as far the Lady Gaga version, of course, just, you know, music and relationship between two singers in the current pop culture, I think kind of sparked this. Also, in the real world, there seems to be this thing within like tabloid culture of singers like getting together and that being like a whole tabloid thing. It there's been a couple of examples of that in movies and TV shows lately. I know in the other two, the comedy series, that there was like a story beat like that. Also, Ariana Grande's character in Don't Look Up was going through something like that, where she's a couple with another singer. And so I don't know if that's a thing that's really happening with singers right now, with pop singers, but it seems to be happening in the world of entertainment.
It's always happened, hasn't it?
I guess so. I guess it happens sometimes.
No, it's always happened.
I can't remember the last time it's really happened.
The two pop singers got together? Come on. That's always been a thing. I'm glad you brought up A Star Is Born, because this movie looks shallow.
All right, let's move on to another romantic comedy. This one coming to streaming on Amazon Prime, also February 11th. Oh yeah, it's Valentine's Day. There you go. I Want You Back stars Charlie Day and Jenny Slate as two platonic friends who both get dumped by their significant others at the same time and decide, instead of just getting together, they're going to work together to break up their ex's new relationships. It looks kind of fun.
Yeah, because that makes them really likable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I love Jenny Slate. She's so talented, man.
Oh, yeah.
And Charlie Day, you know, I don't know. It's been more misses than hits with him on the movie side, but obviously charismatic actor, you know, and we love him from Sunny. So I don't know. I just thought this was going to be like, hey, now we're friends and we're going to be there for each other and then we're going to end up falling in love, which of course they're going to do anyway. But there is that whole thing of like, let's break them up and, you know, I don't remember. Like Jenny Slate is going to seduce Charlie Day's ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. And I'm like, yeah, that just sounds like you're not a good person, right?
Yeah.
And then Charlie Day has to become like bros with Jenny Slate's ex-boyfriend. So just like,
I will say this is a great cast for this concept. Like you can picture them both being awful people, you know?
It just bums me out because I like them both. And I thought like, this could be this could be cleaner, right? But someone was like, oh, we have to take it to the next level. And so something that was much cleaner, which was a great movie, which I've mentioned here before, was Plus One on Hulu where the two are like, hey, we both have to go to these weddings. Let's just go together so we don't have to find wedding dates. So you have that relationship that, of course, develops, right? Okay, so then I thought like, okay, I'm going to break up your thing and you have to break up my thing. Like making this pact to do something dastardly reminded me of Throw Mama from the Train.
Nice.
Yeah, and then if you go back before that, that was based on Strangers from a Train. And then, of course, the last one, you know, you have to bro down with this dude, so I love you, man, which was a great movie. I think people should check that one out again.
Yeah, I Love You, Man was very fun. I haven't seen it since the theater. I want to rewatch it one of these days for sure. I'll go right along with that. I had Forgetting Sarah Marshall on my list. Jason Segel and Mila Kunis, you know, kind of get together in the process of spying on his ex. So I just thought there's kind of a similar trajectory there.
Love that movie.
And the other one I had was The Lovebirds with Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae, the Michael Showalter movie, which is not very good, but these two, they break up, and due to forces outside of their control, they have to kind of stick together as they're going through this whole action comedy plot, which takes things in a very different direction from anything that I'm sure happens here, and I Want You Back, but just the fact that these two people who you just know are going to make it through all of these adventures and end up together are stuck together.
What about there's a scene in this preview where like as you're like at first you're like, oh, I like this person, and then as you continue to watch and it descends into getting less and less enjoyable the preview. Right, there's this part where Jenny Slate goes, you're the type of guy I was looking to fall in love with, you know, 6 days, a month, a year, 2 years, and then Charlie, you realize the timeline's getting longer, don't you? Just like, stop it right now.
This movie's pissing you off, Jason.
Everything. That's what I said. This month looks horrible.
This whole month is.
Kimmy looks
What about
good.
This one? What about this next one? It's called Dog. It comes to theaters February 18th, and it's directed by and starring Channing Tatum. He co-directed it. He's been gone for a while, and I tweeted, like, I don't know, like 3-4 months ago, I was like, whatever happened to Channing Tatum? He's back all of a sudden with a movie where he's on a road trip with a dog. I mean, this is just the most random thing in the world, but it's just kind of like a feel-good movie about him having to transport a fallen soldier's dog across country, and he develops a bond with the dog, who's like very crazy and a wild animal. And yeah, I don't know. It looks like a crowd pleaser, but at the same time, like a why, you know?
Like, why wasn't this made in the 90s or something, right? This yeah, feels like that yeah. type of movie. You're right on the crowd-pleasing aspect, and I'll let you cover the human dog crowd-pleaser genre, yes, because you know, I'm sure that's dogs. On there. I put, which I'd like to watch again, although I remember it not being good, was Larger Than Life, the movie where Bill Murray had to transport an elephant across country or something.
I don't remember if I ever actually saw that. I remember the movie.
Didn't we just talk about on an awesome movie or in Smokey and the Bandit, one of the sequels is about them transporting an elephant? So
yeah,
that
yeah.
someone should make that again. So an elephant transportation movie. I also put Turner and Hooch, because that is that, you know, kind of law officer, or, you know, in this case, this is a military man and a dog, and they're mismatched, and then they come together and everything is great. And spoiler alert, they actually kill Hooch and Turner and Hooch. How could you do that? How could you let that be the ending of that movie? And then the transportation of a fallen or something for a fallen military person. Remember Last Flag Flying, not the best Richard Linklater movie, where they had to transport one of the main character's son's body, I think, from wherever, the pickup to the cemetery or something. So
I actually really liked that movie. I thought that was one of my favorite movies that year.
All right. Well, I mean, I love Richard Linklater, so I don't want to, like, you know, argue about it, Dave. I'll say good.
Let's fight, Jason.
I don't have the energy to after watching these trailers, Dave.
So I thought of a couple others here. The Call of the Wild with Harrison Ford and a dog who's just like totally unruly, and you know, their bond ends up being what gets the dog to be not only to get the dog to be cool, but to get the guy to get out of his funk. So, you know, kind of the same kind of a thing here. And then also Max, a movie in 2015, which, funny enough, was one of these January, February releases where, like, you see the trailer and you're like, is this even a real movie? Like, it was just a dog movie about a fallen soldier's dog who has to be, like, handled by, you know, some other Marine or something. So it was, like, a very similar story. I never actually saw it, but I just remember when the trailer came out, it was, like, the same thing.
If I find out that you kidnap my dog... You're going to need
that would be
men.
A good twist on that.
Come on, there you go. We haven't done that one yet, you know? So.
Let's do that. I would love to see him and a dog for sure.
Or against the dog. Well, because he did the gray, right? So
he did the gray. So, all right. Next up, February 18th in theaters, Uncharted, a movie that has gone through so much development hell. It's amazing that it's ever going to really happen. But here we are. This seems like the worst possible version of it. This is one of the best video games of all time. Let's just say that right here. But now it's Ruben Fleischer directing it, director of Venom and Zombieland and Gangster Squad, starring Tom Holland as Nathan Drake, the adventurer, and Mark Wahlberg as Sully, his guy that goes around with him on the adventures.
Can I stop you right there and just say Mark Wahlberg, his whole career has been leading up to him playing a guy named Sully.
Yeah, a guy named Sully.
I went to college in Boston, and one of my friend's nicknames was Sully. So believe me, I noticed.
It's perfect. Yeah, except for he doesn't look anything like the Sully character. There's nothing about him. But anyway, that's besides the point. The movie, it's a big budget action movie based on a video game. What could go wrong here, you know? Antonio Banderas is a bad guy. That's kind of cool.
Your brother left you a clue. When I was talking about previews that were hard to get through, it was this and Marry Me, pretty much. Like everything else, yeah. And Dog, that wasn't easy to get through either. So you go see this one, Dave, because I'm gonna pass. Okay, so
look, I will see this one just because of the game, but it looks just unbelievably bad.
I mean, the first thing I think of is National Treasure. Mm-hmm. I put a great book on here, so if anyone wants to read this, there's a book called Lost City of the Monkey God, where literally modern age scientists and explorers and archaeologists and anthropologists go into the jungles of Honduras or Guatemala, I think it was Honduras, to find like a lost city, like, you know, and treasure and all this. And that's a pretty cool book. So that's something worthwhile from this episode. I mean, you know, Lost Treasures, I Always Want Goonies, you know, right? And then lastly, all these different elements working together and criminals versus criminals and this and that. I picked the Italian Job instead of Ocean's 11. Leave me alone. Go.
Mm-hmm. All right. I will throw in there. This whole thing seems to take place in the back of a cargo plane that's opening and everybody's falling out of it.
Operation Dumbo Drop?
Operation Dumbo Drop, as well as at least one or two Mission Impossible movies and at least two or three Fast and Furious movies. So
stop bringing that up this time.
Also, of course, Indiana Jones and Tomb Raider, especially Tomb Raider since it's based on the video game. And lastly, and this is part of what makes this look so bad as a fan of the games, Tom Holland is basically just doing his Spider-Man shtick here instead of playing Nathan Drake. So I'll throw in Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
Hey, Dave, you mentioned Tomb Raider. They should call this movie Womb Raider because it looks like an abortion. Film abortion.
Wow, that's a good one, Jason.
I'm like, who used to do that? Joel Siegel, was that him? Or Gene Shalit? Maybe. But, you know, yeah, Gene Shalit. But, yeah, Gene Shalit, but, you know, a little bluer.
Yeah, a little blue. All right. I have a feeling you might like this next one a little bit. The Outfit, coming to theaters February 25th. This one looks more like a Jason movie.
No. This one looks like a movie, Dave. Like, that okay. It wasn't just slapdash and, like, here's an idea, and maybe it works, and maybe it doesn't, but at least we're trying.
Yes. There's a tailor shop. The tailor there is basically forced by some bad dudes to do some illegal activity in the back of his shop. Stars Mark Rylance. It's directed by Graham Moore, who did The Imitation Game a few years ago, which was pretty good. Yeah, this does look good. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, Mark Rylance, man. He's got an Academy Award. He's a bit underrated, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
And who's really there? And then, you know, his there's also
Dylan O'Brien is the main star, and then Zoe Dutch is in it too.
I think that's who I was thinking of, like his female. I don't know if she's a protege or a partner. It seems like, you know, they probably give away too much about her. Like, I'm just here for the shop. What? Turns out I'm, you know, a badass, self-defense person or whatever, right?
Most likely.
So, yeah, no, I mean, there's a part in here where he's like, hey, we can't just have good people as our customers. So, like, he lets, like, bad, you know, or criminals make drops here or something, right? So that kind of feeling of, you know, secret business, secret rooms, reminded me of Boardwalk Empire. Plus the time period looked very Boardwalk Empire-y. When you think of a tailor shop that doubles as something else, I think back to The Kingsman. And then, you know, just wanted to think of a good gangster movie that maybe you wouldn't think of from around this time period. I picked Road to Perdition.
All right, cool. Yeah, I haven't seen Road to Perdition since it came out. I got to watch that again one of these days. I had the same pieces as you, though, otherwise. I had Boardwalk Empire mainly for the vibe of it. Like, there's plenty of gangster things you can go to when talking about gangster movies like this. But as far as, like, just the style of it all, it just really feels like that. But then The Kingsman as well. I mean, a tailor shop where lots of violence is going to happen within it and surrounding the people that shop there. So those were mine as well.
Cool. So, I mean, we're not sure if this is going to be good, but at least it's a concept that you're like, hey, this is not derivative, run of the mill, just trash.
Speaking of, never mind. Next up is Studio 666. February 25th, limited theaters. This movie just looks absolutely ridiculous, but I don't know, maybe could be fun. It's this very low budget looking comedy with the Foo Fighters. It's based on an idea from Dave Grohl, in which they check into a mansion to record their highly anticipated 10th album. Also stars Whitney Cummings and Jenna Ortega from this recent Scream movie. What do you think about this one?
You know, I'm going to go with this one, right? This one, like, and then I think it'll end up on Amazon or something. Like, you know, we've seen this over the years. I don't want to call it stunt casting, but building an entire movie around a persona of someone's real life, you know, profession. Or like what, like chairman of the board with Carrot Top, where, you know, he's using inventions to save the company. Again, it feels like a throwback to the 90s type thing, you know.
It does.
And a recent episode of Awesome Movie where we mentioned Penn and Teller, was it called Kill Us or License to Kill or something like that, which neither of us have seen. But
no.
But hey man, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that so many things look bad this month, but like, I'm gonna give the benefit of the doubt to Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters. They're great. And like this looks like we could at least have some fun with it. And they lean into, like, you know, the idea of the sound of the house is the sound of the album. Like, whatever, whatever. Like, why not? Let's go with it. Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny, right? Yep. There's an Irish movie called Extraordinary from a few years ago that some people really love. I didn't, but it did take risks. It was about like a medium, someone who could speak to the dead, who goes to like a castle where a kind of shut-in pop star played by Will Forte in a very weird role. I wouldn't even call him a pop star, but more like a, you know, a Kenny G type, is going to sacrifice someone so he can get a good album again, right? Like, he makes a deal with the devil. So that's a fun, weird pick. And then Dave Grohl finds a new note. Is it the brown note from South Park? I don't know. Also, he gets possessed in the house. That reminded me of This Is the End.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. I, of course, had Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny as well. I also throw Spinal Tap in there, you know, just the intersection of rock and roll and comedy. A couple others, the Matt LeBlanc TV series episodes where he is searching for what his next big hit will be after Friends, which was a really funny show. I like that show a lot. But just playing with, like you were saying, the persona of this real life entertainer in the form of Dave Grohl and his band, the Foo Fighters. And then the last one, not a movie or a show or anything like that, but just as far as like an outside inspiration, Nine Inch Nails recording The Downward Spiral in the house where the Manson family murdered Sharon Tate. Seems like a jumping off point for this creepy mansion that Foo Fighters are going to record in.
This whole episode has been a downward spiral for the entire film industry, I feel like, Dave. So why not? Let's go with it.
Hey, at least we've got Jackass Forever. That's coming out this month, too. So,
Yeah, that's going to be great. We love that stuff. So Josh, maybe not our co-host from the movie here, but
maybe not Josh.
You know, Dave, do you remember going back? Did you ever do the sneak where you would go see a movie and like plan out like, oh, this plays at 1, it ends at 2:45, blank starts at 3. Oh, let's just sneak in. The best one ever did was Bowling for Columbine and Jackass.
Yes. That's amazing. I love it. Oh, man. All right. That's a good place to wrap it up. Jason, what do you got going on? What's up with Awesome Movie
Awesome
Year
Movie
right
Year.
Now?
Hey, everybody. We just hit a milestone with our download. So thank you all for listening. And whatever feedback you want to give us, we're open to. And the audience choice, which I don't know if the poll's going to be up. You guys get to pick the year that we're going to pick the audience choice. I think one season we should just let the audience pick the year that we covered, Dave.
Yeah.
But right now we're in the 10th season, so we're looking back at the first nine. We're not covering any of the same movies, but we're covering movies that we missed from those first nine that fit into our categories. So we're right in the middle of it. You know, I'm not sure which episode will be out by the time this one airs, but some of the picks have been our foreign film from 1989, Cinema Paradiso, already out, box office champ, Smokey and the Bandit, which was number two in 1977. And my episode, I picked Bonnie and Clyde from 1967. So we run through the gamut. We've picked every year, and it's a fun season, fun way to like fill in some holes, some to piece it together, if you will.
Ooh, absolutely. Yes. And speaking of which, I'm very much looking forward to my personal pick from 1994, which I won't reveal right now, but I'll just say I didn't get a pick yet when we first started the show off, and now I finally get that.
Yeah, I'm glad we got that. You had to earn your keep, and and then we dangled that pick carrot in front of you. And now you, after this, you will have had a pick in every season.
That's right. So, awesome. Everybody check out Awesome Movie Year. And Jason, as always, thanks for joining me. Hopefully March is a better month.
Yeah, you should really pay me for this episode for sitting through all those trailers.
Two actors walk into a bar and, well, what do they do, David?
Well, Scarlett, I'll tell you. Two actors walk into a bar and find humour in reality.
Two of them fall out and smash on the floor. The woman has gone, well done.
Provide opinions on everything they're not entitled to.
Oh, wear a mask, you dumbasses. America's fucked. Oh, who cares? Biden's in control of a sinking ship.
And of course, they drink.
I'm doing good. I've had one beer and I don't know what words are anymore.
He's on the Fanta fruit twist now.
I can see what you're drinking and it is embarrassing.
But no, that's not all you can expect from this podcast. We've got some particularly strange tales to tell and, of course, exclusive stories from the acting world. You came on the stage and you were like, stop it, I'm having to break character. I'm a professional, don't you know?
I see you're an actress. Do you snort lots of cocaine, then?
Some Oscar-worthy performances from our hosts.
Your Waluigi impression is hilarious.
Waluigi.
Good old Boris Johnson, like...
You're smashing them now. You've not even had a drink yet.
Oh, I don't believe the king would have said that.
And a load of drunken waffle. I mean, intelligent conversation.
We're talking about you having a weird crush on Colin Firth and suddenly you're shagging a Greg's pasty.
My life's exciting, what can I say?
So join her, Scarlett Bryant.
And him, David McCulloch.
Along with a fantastic range of special guests.
Bring it on, I can't wait. I mean... Who shat themselves?
I was sang in the prize giving on the Friday, was having surgery on the Saturday. I poured myself some mulled wine for this occasion and I have, you saw me sit down with a full glass. I've like just, it's like juice, you know?
All that and much, much more. In our podcast series,
Two actors walk into a bar.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming out in February. And even if we were a little down on some of them, go see them. This way we'll have some great things to talk about, right? So lots of movies coming out, and you know I'll be watching them all. So thank you to Jason Harris for joining me on that. If you're not already, you should subscribe to Awesome Movie Year. Lots of great episodes coming out over there. So definitely check that out. And while you're at it, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together. You could also rate and review us. That would be awesome if you did that. You could share our episodes. That's especially great when you do that. Make sure you're subscribed and, you know, follow us on social medias and all that kind of stuff at Piecing Pod for Piecing It Together. And check out our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And don't forget, we do have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where we post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, from Jason's Awesome Movie Year podcast, as well as from my music career. And there is a lot coming very soon from my music. I'm in the middle of working on quite a bit of new stuff. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot coming soon. So definitely check out the Patreon. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. And speaking of music, let's close this thing up with a piece of my music like we always do. And I'm just going to pick a random one today. How about that? I'm going to go with a track. Hey, speaking of our negativity towards the month of February, I'm going to go with a track called The Land of Nothing. This was on a free album I put out called Like Ashes. It was a bonus track album I put out in between regular albums, and it's available exclusively on my Bandcamp profile. So you can go to davidrosen.bandcamp.com to download. There's actually three of these bonus track albums that are just completely free. This is from the one called Like Ashes. The song, again, is called The Land of Nothing. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.